and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Pod of Soul.
Once again, and welcome back to Noise in the Margins, the podcast about putting together Fat Tracks books and records. And I mean, actually, originally it was supposed to be like the background podcast for Ignite, our zine, but it's turned into kind of a catch-all right now for what I'm doing. I'm Thomas, by the way, and the store Fat Tracks books and records, that's the new store that we're opening up here in Metro Austin. Probably, we're thinking probably the Round Rock area. And more on that in a minute. Maybe Round Rock. We'll find out. Because a couple of things have happened this past week. So it's been about a week since I last recorded. I think it's been about a week. I'm pretty sure it's been a week. It's kind of hard to tell because all the days are running together now. But today I actually got in the mail, finally, the sales tax certificate from the state. So that means that I can now start opening up wholesale accounts, because now I've got the certificate that shows that I'm a reseller, selling the high seas of products and goods made for your consumption. Reseller. And that means that, like I said, I can open up these wholesale accounts. I can actually get the numbers, because the SBA loan paperwork, the business plan, the big stupid long thing that's like a book report about why are you opening up a new store, I am just about done with that. I am right now, yesterday, I'll probably work on it again tonight. I don't know if I'm going to be ready with it tomorrow, but I have started putting it together in the pretty format. Pretty being, you know, the beautiful format, the presentation format. It's going to be like a booklet. It's like 30 pages long. It might actually be longer than that. When you write things up in Word, the length of things changes when you publish it in an actual like document, like a magazine or a booklet or something. So it might actually be more than 30 pages, but it's long, and there's a lot of stuff in it, which is funny because a lot of it's redundant, and it's supposed to be, but it is, and I don't get why. But anyway, so SBA loan paperwork or presentation business plan, that's pretty much done. I just need to put it in its final presentation format. Sales tax certificate, like I said, came in today. That's done. That means that there are other things I can move on to, such as what I did today, which is I ordered stickers. I ordered the first batch of stickers from Sticker Giant, of the store logo. And they're going to be on their way here in another week. I've already approved the proof that they sent, which was, they sent a proof, but it was an email, and I'm not real sure that counts. Like, when you go to a print shop and you get a proof, it's like an actual copy. It might be like kind of rough and dirty, but it gives you a good mock-up and something physical to touch. Whereas this was like, here's a file, this is kind of what it's going to look like, does that look all right? It's like, well, I mean, it's my graphic, so I hope it looks all right. But yeah, so I've got the stickers ordered, and the next thing I'm going to be ordering are the t-shirt blanks. When you are printing t-shirts for a business, for an event, for whatever, you could go to like TeePublic or whatever that site is, where you just throw some stuff on there and they send you a t-shirt and it's like junky, or sometimes it's not. And the reason that you get t-shirts that the quality or the value of those shirts seems to be all over the place is because you can order, I think with those sites, you can order specific shirts, but how do you know what brand of shirt you want to use unless you have messed with them? So if you are a reseller, then you can actually order blanks, and the blanks are like bare bones. They're not making any money off of it. It is, you know, you don't order blanks like you order like 100 of them in this situation. In this situation, you're letting them know that you're looking for samples. And so they offer it pretty close to cost. So you get, you know, a couple of t-shirts from this company, from Bella Canvas or Gildan or, you know, Russell Athletics or whatever. All these different companies that make these shirts. And then you can mess with them. You can wear them. You can wash them. You can mess, you know, stretch them. See what they do, see how they act, and that allows you to determine what kind of shirt you're going to end up with. And that's important because there's a lot of retailers, and one of them I'm thinking of specifically that I'll mention in a minute. There are a number of retailers that don't take that step. And if you are going to ask someone to spend $25 to $30 on a shirt, you want to make sure that that is the type of shirt that you want, that you would want to wear. I mean, if you don't want it, why would someone else want it? You want people to open up their closet, pull out your shirt, or open up their drawer, pull out your shirt, and say, oh yeah, I want to wear this today. Not, well, I really want to support the brand today, but I hate this shirt. You never want that. And I've got shirts that are like that, where I'm like, I really like this brand. I really like this company. I hate this shirt. And then you end up just not wearing it. So once I've picked out a couple of different brands, and there's a reason I say a couple of different brands, you know, you want to pick out like your top three, right? So let's say Bella Canvas, and then, I don't know, Color Fast, and then Shaka. I think they're called Shaka. Yeah, it's a street brand over in LA. Let's say that you've picked out these three. Then what I'm going to do, and what I recommend people do, is I'm going to go to, there are three or four local screen printers that they are on the bigger side here in Metro Austin. And I'm going to go there, and I'm going to first, I'm going to contact them and see if they'd be willing to sell me some of their offs. And I'll talk about that in a second. And the reason I want to see their offs, I'm going to be very upfront about it. I want to see what it looks like when you guys do something, instead of, you know, going through the whole rigmarole of trying to buy shirts and then not being happy with their process. I would rather, because I'm sure they have them. Every company does. Every screen company has a couple of offs somewhere that they take a hit on. And like I said, I'll explain that in a minute. And then once I've determined which company I want to work with, then I will see if they either offer the shirts that I'm wanting to use out of my top three, or if they don't, if they're willing to use the ones that I provide. So when you are having a company print your shirts, and I realize you probably know this, but this is new to me, kind of. Yeah, kind of. So when you go to a company like this, a professional screen printing company, and you're like, hey, I need 100 shirts. They're like, okay, here's our catalog. They would rather sell you the blanks and then sell you the print than just take your blanks and sell you the printing. And the reason being is that they don't want you walking in there with 100 shirts. They screw up three or four of those shirts and you walk out with less than 100. And then you're griping about, hey, I gave you 100 shirts. It cost me $300. You're charging me another $100. Why would I do that? I know those numbers are not right. That's wrong. But it's still comes to the point of, why would I give you the full price for your service if I'm not getting the amount that I put in? So a lot of companies would rather, you know, sell the blank to you, and they usually have a catalog of different brands that they carry. They would rather sell you the blank, and that way, if they screw up something, that screw up is listed as a loss on the books as opposed for them, and not necessarily a loss because you walked in and walked out with way the hell less shirts than you walked in with, and you're all upset about it. So, like I said, I'm going to get some blanks, make a ranking, and move on from there, right? So that's, I mean, that is pretty much what's been going on with Fat Tracks directly. Like I said, sales tax certificate. I can now open these accounts and you know, get the wholesale stuff going on. I've got stickers ordered. The SBA loan is pretty much done. The blanks are next on the list. And yeah, I mean, you know, we're rocking and rolling. We're getting pretty. That sounds so old. Wow, that sounds really old, doesn't it? Rocking and rolling, huh? Okay, let's talk about what happened earlier this week. So earlier this week, Monday specifically, and it is Wednesday, so I've had a solid day, 2 days really, to sit down and think about it. On Monday, I met up with another store in the area and the owner of that store. And the purpose of the meeting really was to see if they're... okay, look. The thing about walking into a situation like this is that unless someone is explicitly saying, I am wanting to sell the company that I own for $3, there's no real conversation. There's no way you can say, well, the purpose of the meeting was to talk about them selling the company. This person is looking to get out or to have something change. It's not just get out. So the problem is that the person in question is a fairly nice person. And I don't want to talk trash about this person. That's not right. Particularly given how very nice they were. But one of the problems that they have is that they are stressed and they don't know how to de-stress. And I know that sounds kind of wonky, but they are, I'm not even sure how to explain it. So there's a number of details that I'm not supposed to say anywhere. They asked me not to repeat, and so I'm not. But there are some details that are just kind of common knowledge. Like, it's common knowledge that they are like the last person standing out of the group of people that started this store, this company, and that they probably did not expect... I think it's fairly well known that they did not expect to be in the situation that they're in. They didn't expect to be the last person standing. About said man, you know, that's just the phrase, not an indication of gender. They didn't expect to be the last person standing, and because they are the last person standing, they feel like everything is piled onto them, and the rub here is that it's one thing if it's you or you and your partner, whether it be your business partner or romantic partner or best friend. It's one thing if you or a duo are planning something, right? Tawn actually threw me a birthday party this past weekend, and a bunch of people showed up, and it was great. And it was a lot of fun. It's the first time we went to Dave & Buster's, first time I've ever been, and I was super excited and had a lot of fun and ate some greasy food, and it was awesome. The thing is, though, is that there were a lot of people that she had to work around, and she had to work around their schedules, and I was almost surprised that people showed up just because of how crazy this past weekend was for people's schedules. And I seriously appreciate everyone that did. If you're listening to this, thank you so much. It was so much fun. I mean, just that event with all those different people and all that different stuff going on, that is a complicated mess for anyone to navigate. Well, take that a step further. If you start with that's one person making all these decisions, going into it and messing with however many other people and their schedules. So translate that into starting a company. If you are one person, you're making all the shots. And yeah, you have to work around other people's stuff, and you have to work around other people's tastes and other people's wants and other people's, what are people going to buy? What are people going to do here? What are you going to do there? You know, when I hire employees, what time are we opening? What time are we closing? And if you're one person or you're two people, you can make those decisions unilaterally. You know, if you see something that's not working, you can pivot. When you are in a committee of people, and this committee was like over five, it's actually 10, I think. When you are in a committee of people and you start a new business, that is insane, because it doesn't matter if everyone is on board with the same vision and everyone's doing their bit. A business is like a ship. You know, you have all these people running the ship. You've got people, let's say a sailboat, people messing with the sails, people doing this, somebody, driving the rudder. But if you have 10 captains of that ship, then all of a sudden you are not in a situation where you are agile. You're not in a situation where things are easy. And it puts you in a situation where when things go wrong, if everyone's not aware of it or everyone doesn't know about it, someone could easily end up holding the bag. And that's kind of what happened here. The person in question is one person out of 10. They're the last person standing, and their stuff that they don't know what's going on. They don't know how to do, and how are we going to get this, and how are we going to do that? And when I was talking with this person, it was obvious that they simply couldn't decide what they wanted to do moving forward. And what I mean by that is that they couldn't decide whether or not they wanted to let go, whether or not would an angel investor help? Would me letting go help? Should I sell the company? And I gave them, this person is a little bit older than me, but in the way of running a company, I can give better advice than I think they were receiving before. And I pointed out that, look, the very first thing you have to do is you have to decide what do you want to do? Do you want to leave or do you want to stay on? If you want to stay on, how can you make that work? If you want to leave, and it sounds like you kind of want to leave, are you looking for money? Are you looking for the business to just be okay? Are you, there's a number of different ways to handle this. And I know that certain people who work part-time at this company would very much like to see me take over. And I wouldn't mind taking over, but the store in question definitely has a much different attitude and tone compared to anything that I'm working on. I'm not saying that it couldn't pivot, but I am saying that it wouldn't be the easiest thing. It's a lot easier to start from scratch than it is to pivot when you're dealing with the monstrosity of an existing store in an existing location with existing clients and an existing neighborhood. That neighborhood very explicitly is the neighborhood in question. I say neighborhood, the area in question, isn't as bad as it could be. And I mean that as in politically. But they, I don't think the people that live in that area would stop ICE from kidnapping children off the street. I think they would cheer it. And I mean, even if you're in an area that wouldn't stop it, you should want to live in an area where it's at least questioned. Hey, what are you doing? Why are you kidnapping those kids? Why are they screaming? This is an area where I was out there making fun of the Daughters of the Confederacy because they're a bunch of goddamn traitors. And if you're listening to this and disagree, well, then you're wrong. But, you know, this is an area where they felt comfortable enough to be there in the square, you know, acting like they were something important. Freaking idiots. So it's not that I wouldn't want to take it over, but it would have to be the perfect setup. And, you know, I don't think that the owner would be okay with a perfect setup for someone to walk in. And what makes it worse, so that you understand, you know, we're talking about something that the company, the store in question, owes money to a bank. Okay. And they owe enough money that you have to just take that right off the top. All right, look, the company owes money to the bank. A lot of companies do. Most companies do. But it's almost like they wanted to be absolved of the responsibility of that money. And that's just, that doesn't work, you know? So like I was saying before, I laid it out. I was like, if you want to sell, you need to come up with a number. But you have to remember that if you are selling, I can go get a loan for $250 and have, you know, the store set up, have everything handled, have at least a year to 2 years of operating expenses right there up front. With this, if you're asking for more than what's total going to be around $250, then you're asking for something that's unjustified. It just is. And I'm sorry that's the case, but it just is. So, yeah, I honestly don't think that they are going to, I don't think they can let go. And I think that is going to result in them down the line not being able to transition the company when it needs to be transitioned. Long story short, I'm beating around the bush. Long story short, I met with the person that owns that company. I wouldn't mind taking it over. I know there are people that are rooting for that to happen. I don't think it will happen. I don't think that the person that owns it is ready to let it go. And even if they were, I'm not convinced that they won't ask for an amount of money that is prohibitive. So that's it, you know? It sucks, but that's the way it goes. And with that, we come to our final little tidbit. That's pretty much everything that's happened. You know, birthday party, met with the other store, sales tax certificate, stickers ordered, blanks. You know, SBA loan ready to go, or almost ready to go. So, the next few podcasts, I've been working on something. And it's a theory I've been running for a while. And I've actually run it through AI. And I know what everybody thinks about AI. But I ran the theory through AI because I needed something. The thing about coming up with theories, I had this problem with philosophy. The problem with coming up with philosophical arguments is that you don't always have someone that can check your math, right? And so I used AI to pull sources that I then double checked to see if I was on the right track. And it would very much appear that I am. on the right track. So, let me see if I can find the title of the special series that I'm about to do. Coming up very soon, as in the next three episodes, the very first episode being called, what are we going to call the first episode? I've got it written down somewhere. Ah, here we go. The Ghosts of the Confederacy. The series is basically something along the lines of how we got here, the rise of MAGA, and why it was inevitable. And it was. And I am absolutely sure of that now. Three-part series. I'm going to be blasting it all over socials when I'm done. I hope you join us. I hope you give your opinion. And yeah, I'm excited to do it. But at the same time, I'm also kind of terrified that I've come to the conclusions that I have. That this was all, this was going to happen. This was absolutely going to happen. How was it said to me? MAGA wasn't inevitable in a mystical sense, but in a structural sense. When you combined an unpunished treasonous movement, generational propaganda, a gutted labor class, a corporate captured media, and no accountability for elites, you get Trump. Or something worse. So like I said, starting next time, hope you join us. And until then, stay sharp, stay loud, stay human. See you guys.